Today we're going to do something we've never done before. Okay? Today we're going to wrap up two different series that we've just completed. Let's connect and let's reach. Okay? We've never done it in all in one, but today we're going to do this. And did I tell you that there would be a test? I didn't say that. Did I not mention that there would be a test before we start service today? I must have missed that, right, Sarah? I must have missed that. But here it is. I want you to finish the sentence. We do life in community and not in solitude, isolation. That's it. We do life in community and not in solitude. We grow in and not in?
Growth.
Amen. That's it. That's it. This is the launch of our life groups.
Yeah.
Starting this month, the month of September, coming up, I'm already ahead a little bit. Starting in the month of September, we're going to launch 8 different life groups.
Yeah.
And your life group leader is Sarah right here. Sarah, would you please stand? We got several life group, and she is the one that is ahead, taking the lead on this. You would want to connect with her right after church. Several of you have already mentioned that they are so excited about life group. All of these are rolling out in the month of September. We got young adults. We got Jammies and Grace in town. Blooming Mamas out of town. So you have no excuse, whether you are in town or out of town, to get connected. Amen? So we got 2T215. What is that? What is that?
2 Timothy 2:15. It's
going to
be, if you guys
want to
get deeper into the word, this is the Bible study.
Amen. That's it. We got marriage and family. We got kingdom women. We got health and nutrition. We got whole hearts. We got Financial Peace University. We got Kingdom Man. We got all of these starting in the month of September. So fill one of those out if you haven't already, and make sure that Sarah gets this, okay? We're going to follow up with you. We're going to make sure that you get plugged in. A church can reach better when we are connected. Our reach can be even further. The impact that we can have in this community can be multiplied when we are connected.
Amen.
Standing alone, all I can reach is right here. But when I'm connected with others, our reach is even further.
Amen.
And that's the purpose of being connected in a body. A body needs to be connected just like a house is connected with the different parts of the house. A house cannot be a house if it is not connected. What if the roof is not connected to the walls? What if the walls are not connected to the foundation? It's not a house. Right? So as a body, we're the house. Who the house? We the house. Who the house? We the house. Who the house? We the house. We are the house. We are the house of God. We represent the church. I am so glad that you did not come to church this morning. I am so glad you did not come to church. I am so glad that you are part of the church. You are the church. You are the house. You make up the church. The church needs you. The church is members. The church is not walls. The church exists even best outside of the four walls. Amen? Amen. So we reach out better when we are connected. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. We are so excited about the Word of God at Oceans United. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3. We're talking about house. Who the house?
We the
house. It says, Enlarge your house. Enlarge your house. Talking about you here. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expenses. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. I believe this scripture is talking about Oceans United. I believe this scripture is talking about you and me. Breaking out of our box. Seeing ourselves as an integral part of this body. Of this house. You are a house by yourself, individually. And you are a house corporately when we join in together and become one. So every part of the house is important. There is not a part of a house and say, you know what, I'm better than the other. The roof cannot say to the walls, I'm better than you. Because the roof cannot stand by itself without the walls. And what's the use of having a foundation if there's no walls to uphold the foundation, to be supporting everything else that is building the house upon? So a house is you. A house is me. So God here is giving us a revelation about expanding our house. Expanding our capacity to receive from God. Whatever we believe in God for, we're singing about miracles is happening all around us. The Spirit of the God is moving. And God is saying and He's challenging us to increase our capacity to receive. Increase our capacity to receive the vision that God has for you and me. I believe this scripture is not exclusively talking about real estate, square footage of a building. I believe this scripture is talking about us reaching beyond our natural abilities, reaching beyond our limits. Reaching beyond our comfort zone. Reaching beyond for something that is a little bit higher than our normal reach. We need that. Amen. We need to be able to stretch ourselves beyond our natural ability. That's where the Spirit of the Living God steps in. When we've done all that we can do in our natural ability, the Spirit of the Living God steps in and propels us into a new dimension. To believe God for the impossible. To believe God for something that when we look at it in our natural eyes, we see how impossible it would be. But when we change our perspective, when we start seeing what God sees, when He looks at us, when He looks at me, He doesn't see me with all my faults. He doesn't see me with all my failures. He sees me as the final product. That's the way God sees you. That's the way God sees me. And here the challenge is, do you see the way that God sees? Do you see the way that God sees? Reaching beyond gives birth to something. Something called vision. Vision is when you reach beyond for something that you cannot achieve in your natural abilities. And vision is never birthed out of comfort. Vision is birthed out of pain. Vision is birthed at sometimes sorrows, difficult times, trying times. That's where vision is birthed. Vision is birthed when you reach beyond yourself and see what God sees. In Isaiah 54, Isaiah was speaking and giving this vision during a time of famine. During a time of famine, the last thing you want to do is to increase size, to increase your house, to increase your capacity. During a time of famine, what you want to do is retain the grain, hold back everything, and not release the seed. But the challenge that Isaiah received from God was to let loose, was to let go, was to go beyond what he could actually see in the natural. When you do that, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Have you ever been challenged by God to do something when you look at it in the natural, it doesn't make sense at all? You look at it, you formulate different ideas, you look at everything from different angle, and every angle that you look at the problem, you can't find a solution that makes sense. Everything goes against the common sense. And you start thinking that maybe you've missed it. Maybe the idea is flawed. Maybe you've missed the vision. But each time the Spirit of the living God, where that dream, where that vision is birthed, he will bring it back to light. And he'll remind you of something that he's spoken to you way before, way ahead of time. And the Spirit of the living God has the ability to keep bringing it up to you each and every time, so that you're reminded that it's not about you. It never started with you. It started with him. And he's saying that only through me can you see the fullness of that vision. Only through me can you see the unfolding of that vision. Today I want to talk to you about the subject of reaching beyond for vision. Now you might be thinking, vision is for something big, right? Vision is for a big company, a big church. But what about me? This is big picture stuff. But what about me? What about just me? What is God saying about me? What is God's vision for me? Little bitty Shannon. What about me? Where do I fit in the big picture of God? What is God's vision for me as a father? What is God's vision for me as a husband? What is God's vision for me as a pastor, as your pastor? What is God's vision for me? I know I fit into some kind of big picture, but I want to know me. Where do I fit in? Where do I fit in? And here's the biggest or the best definition that I can come up with for vision. It is you speaking what God is saying about you. It is you speaking what God is saying about you. Vision is something that must be spoken. You've heard and you speak. Paul says this is the spirit of faith. I believe that I've heard, and therefore I spoke. Vision is the same way. The best way to articulate a vision is to hear and speak it. When you speak it, you launch it. Coach Brian, it's like a football. You're holding it back, and you're waiting, and you're waiting at the right time. When you see where God has opened up the gate for you, you launch. By speaking, this is what you're doing. You're launching it out. Amen. You're launching it out in hope that God is guiding that ball. Somehow, this ball will reach the intended destination. That is destiny unfolding when you launch that ball. It has a destination attached, and that destination has a destiny, a DNA that is attached to that vision that God has already birthed inside of you. You're just launching it by speaking it. So when you're speaking, You're releasing what God has already spoken to you. The best definition for vision is this. It's you speaking what God is already saying about you. It's nothing new. You don't have to dig deep to find out what God is saying about you. You open up the book. You open up the Bible. That's the best way to know what God is saying about you. When you find out about where God wants me to be healed, you open up the Word and you say, of course He wants me to be healed. That's what the Word says. You want to know that God, whether God wants you to get this promotion? Yes. He surrounds me like a shield with favor. Promotion comes from neither the east nor the west. Promotion comes from God. I don't need to self-promote myself. Let Him do it. The Word of God will always point you to the vision that He's already spoken over your life. Sometimes you forget where to find it. You forget that you've heard from God. You forget that this Word came from God, or the original intent was for you to be blessed. That's all of His promises, is for you to go and succeed and be blessed. Sometimes we hold back because of fear of failure. What if we start something and we don't finish? What would so-and-so say? What if we take a leap of faith and I miss the mark? How would I look? The spirit of vision is risking it all. Willing to lay it all down and say, Jesus, it's all you or nothing. So vision is you speaking what God is already saying about you. The question is, what is God saying about you? What is God saying about you? And would you reach out beyond for it, even if it makes you look like a fool for doing it, even if you put everything on the line at the risk of losing your reputation, of everything that you've worked to achieve, everything that you've built up, that you've accumulated? Would you be putting everything on the line for God's glory to show up? I believe this is the starting point. That is the starting point. That is the place where we say, Jesus, that's where I want to begin. I want to begin there. That I know that I've heard you. That I know that I trust you. That I know that I can put everything on the line because you've gone ahead of me. And I'm trusting you. I'm believing that everything that you've said that you will do it. Because your word says that you are the author and the finisher. The things that you began in my life today, you're going to bring it to completion. You're not going to leave me. You're going to not abandon me. You're going to make sure that I've got everything that I need to accomplish the task. So don't be threatened by how big the vision might be. Embrace it. Because at the end of the day, it's God's vision. You're just a steward of it. You know how I take the pressure off of me as a pastor? I said, Jesus, I'm just happy to be on the sideline. I'm just happy to see what you're doing. I'm just happy to be part of it. In my little small role, I am thankful. And I'll be the best steward in that role that you've placed in me. You've placed me here, and I'm going to treasure that. For by saying this, I've removed the pressure off of me. Because it was never about me to start with. It was all about Him. Because when God saw the vision in the midst of a famine, He saw the provision. He saw lives, He saw souls, He saw people like you here. And I see my role as just a little servant that has come to serve in a place where he's called me. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Because at the end of the day, when I breathe my last, I want to hear those words. Well done, my good and my faithful servant. You were faithful in your little role. You did it with my anointing, with my blessing. Enter into the glory of your God. That's what we want to hear. But one thing we must do is to start. Just start. Just take that first step. That's it. Into the unknown sometime. Into the deep end sometime. But that's where we start. Where we let go of everything that brings us the comfort of the shore. When we risk drowning, getting into that deep end, that's where God shows up. That's where he shows up with all of his power and his might. And he says, you know, son, I did not bring you this far to let you drown. I will uphold you. I will carry you forth. I have paved the way for you. Would you keep trusting me? That's the bottom line when we reach out beyond ourselves for his vision. But reaching beyond for vision requires you and me to do some practical things. You know, with God on this journey of faith, our walk with him sometimes is very practical. Sometimes we over-spiritualize this thing. We overcomplicate what God is saying. And what God is saying sometimes is just the simplest thing. It's to obey and walk. It's to listen, obey, and walk. It's to trust him. To take care of the small little things that he tells us to do. And one of them is this. Clear the clutter. Some of the small things, we're like, oh, you know, what's clutter? I don't need to deal with that. It's just there. We've gotten so used to clutter. We've gotten so used to clutter. I mean, you know, we've got 5 little kids. Well, one of them is 13, so he's no longer little. I think he'll get mad if I tell him he's little baby. But in my eyes, he's little. He's still a baby. There's clutter. There's toys. There's stuff everywhere. That's our home. You come to my house, it's going to be a mess. And I'm not going to pick up before you come. It's going to be like just like the way it is. Because that's our life pretty much all the time. That's the way we roll, okay? Just being real. If I come to your house and I see things pretty tidy and neat, number one, you might not have any kids. And you have no idea what I'm talking about. Or number two, you're just trying to impress me. It's good to clear the clutter. I like toys to be put up. I like things to be put up in my house and everything else. But you know, it's a job that we must do ourselves. Clearing the clutter is not a job that we can delegate to somebody else. I can't say, Tammy, you live down the road from me. You live right across the street. There's a little clutter. Would you mind coming in over and cleaning it up? She might say yes for the first time, but you know what? Next time, I'm not coming over anymore. Clearing the clutter is a task that you must assume the full responsibility for it. I just want to lay it out right now. Because a lot of times we tend to see clutter, we blame somebody else for the clutter that we see in our yard, in our house. But that's our responsibility, is to clean the clutter. And I believe the greatest enemy of vision is not the devil himself. It is the clutter that we've allowed in over the years. Clutter is anything that gets in the way between you and God. Now you can fill in the blanks. It might be anything. Anything that gets in the way, that robs you of that vision of what you've heard, that is stopping you from speaking it out, that is stopping you from believing for it. That is a clutter that needs to be removed. Otherwise, the vision is not fulfilled. Clearing the clutter is not just a physical task. It's a spiritual one. It's not just a one-time event when you clean the clutter one time. It's a continual process of cleaning, of renewing your mind, of changing your thoughts, of holding these thoughts captive, of holding capture. You're holding hostage those triggers of the past. Those triggers that have caused you in the past to get pain, to inflict pain upon yourself. Those triggers that have robbed you of your calling. Those triggers that are robbing you of your vision that God has spoken over you. The Word of God says you hold those thoughts captive. You bring them to the submission of Christ, your Lord. You hold them tight. You lock them down. You quarantine those thoughts. You put them like just a virus on your computer. You lock them up. And then you purge them. Those ideas of failure that you've had over the past. Those shortcomings that you've had, that you've disqualified yourself for the race even before you start. Those failures of even starting something. Like the fear of it. The fear of starting in case you fail. Lock them up. Destroy them. Cast them out. The Word of God says this. Casting down arguments. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's anything. Absolutely anything that is getting in the way of what you've heard God say about you. Anything that gets in the way, you must cast it down. Don't take ownership of every thought that comes between you. The enemy has the power to actually bring thoughts to you that were never yours to start with. What we've done over the time when we've accumulated that much clutter is we've taken ownership of those things. Of those thoughts that have come in, that have bombarded our minds. And we start thinking that, well, they were not there to start with, but somehow they got there. I must have put those cluttered thoughts there myself. And you start blaming yourself for it. And the enemy start believing that, oh, you know what, we've got her right now. We've got her right where we want. We've robbed her of a vision that God has spoken over her. Everything will get robbed from you from that moment when you start taking ownership of a thought that is not yours, that is of the enemy. You must clear out the clutter of the past. And it's not something that you can pass on to somebody else. Or you can blame anybody. Don't take life lessons and make them into life sentences. Don't take life lessons that you've gone through, tough times that you've gone through, and you turn them into a life sentence for you. Where you can't see yourself breaking through past that point. Life lessons are there for us to learn from, to draw wisdom from, to hear the voice of God, and to move beyond that point into His calling, into His vision. Throughout all life lessons that we go through, God's promise will still remain the same. He never changes. He's the same yesterday when He spoke to you. He's the same today when He's speaking. And He will be the same again when He reminds you of what He's already spoken. Nothing changes. You might have changed your perspective. You might have changed your position. But the Word of God, the promise that He's given to you 10 years ago, has never changed. Still remains the same. God is waiting for the right time for you to line up with what He's spoken. When you line yourself with a vision, then you excel. Then you go to a different mode of operation. You start operating at the favor of God, at the speed of favor, when the blessing of God is chasing you down. You don't have to work for it. It's already there. God has already laid up the provision for you. Number two is, rise again. Rise again. The Word of God in Micah 7:8 says this, "Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Falling is part of reaching beyond. Falling is part of the journey, but what really matters is you rising up again after you fall. That's what really matters in the vision, is you getting up after you've fallen and saying, "The Lord is with me. I will rise again and I will follow His voice. For though I fall, I will rise again. And though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Sometime it is in the darkest hour. The darkest hour. The most painful hour. When the vision of what God has spoken over you comes to pass. Or that vision that God has spoken to you. But in that darkest moment, that vision is birthed. In June 2014, Isaiah, a 13-year-old, was rushed to the hospital. He was bleeding from his mouth. He was urinating blood. He was diagnosed with something called Evans syndrome, which is an immune disorder disease, kind of like similar to leukemia. He was tested for leukemia at some point, and he was just bleeding everywhere. We rushed to the hospital, and I was at church at the time. Got there real quick, and several doctors were around him. He's just bleeding. You push on his skin, and it's just blood. You could see it spread over his skin and everything else. And at the same time, Dawn was pregnant with Micah, and Micah had only one functioning kidney, and a lot of internal things that were going wrong, and they could see it. The report was bad from both round. We felt like everything. That was our darkest hour, the darkest hour, when you're watching a son who is almost expiring in front of you and you're totally helpless. You can't do anything about it. And they're giving you this report. They're talking this lingo about this is happening. This is what's going to happen. This is what to be expected. And I'm seeing this in the natural. I'm like, "Lord, it does not make sense." And the very first thing that you say is, "Lord, why?" But the real question is but why not? Why not? It got me to the point when I was able to say, "Why not? Why not, Lord? You've equipped me. You've called me to be able to handle this. There's nothing too hard and certainly nothing too difficult for you. It was at that moment when I felt like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to the calling? Because it was in that same year that God called us to come to Kodiak. It did not make sense. I was like, Lord, why would I go and leave a little bit of the medical attention that we can provide for our kids, leave all of that behind and go to this place where even the doctors were saying, no, you don't want to do this. You don't want to go. That was our darkest hour. And that scripture came to life. Though I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be my light. In that darkest hour, God told us this. Whose report would you believe? I've got a picture I've got to show you. This is Isaiah. In 2014, this is a 500-page medical report that showed that there is no sign whatsoever of Evans syndrome, of leukemia. In the darkest hour, the light of God will show up and remind you of the vision that is planted inside of you. So whose report are you going to believe? Amen. That's where you start with the vision. Don't let the darkest hour, the struggle of what you're dealing with, stop you or rob you from what God wants to do. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult for God. But to get to the vision, you must reach beyond that. Beyond yourself. Beyond what you're feeling. Beyond what you're experiencing in the natural. God will always be glorified. God will bring in the miracle. It does not depend on you. It does not even depend on you. And I was in that moment when I was there and I was looking at the report and I was listening to different things that the doctors were saying. And God was reminding me, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. And this is not catching me by surprise. So why not? Why not? Instead of asking God, why, Lord? Why? Why not? You've equipped me. You've called me. This vision that you've spoken over me is mine. So why not? Why not me? You've equipped me to handle this. And the last point is this. Stand guard. Stand guard over the vision. You know, when we talk about vision, you know Habakkuk 2:3, right? When it says, write the vision down, make it plain, so that he who runs may read it. Write it down. It's good to write the vision down. You must write the vision down. You should. But vision is not just something that you write down and you stick on your fridge. Vision is way beyond that. Vision is something that you've heard, that you steward over the course of that vision. It's not just a one-time stewardship. It's a stewardship that is constantly tested. At every season of your life, that stewardship is tested. It's tested for faithfulness. It's tested for resilience. It's tested to see if you can handle the vision itself. The tests, the pain, does not mean that the vision is flawed. The test is, would you remain faithful? Would you